This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Hey, Santa Claus, you want to make me happy this year? Listen to me, honey. Give Pearl something that'll be of some use to me, like a 5-pound box of money. Now, there's a little gift. It's loaded with lots of sentiment. See, whenever I get blue, Santa, I'm gonna think of you. But at the same time, that will change the fame of rent, you see? Now, money isn't everything. There's no two ways about it. But while we're here, Santa dear, it's much better with than without it. So, really, I could be real good and not do nothing funny. If you do like I ask you, start me right on Christmas night. Try me, try me. Try me on that money. Just try me, honey. Santa, can you hear me? You listen to everything I'm asking about? But listen, honey, Santa dear, the new year, oh, it would be so bright and sunny. Just bring me that little simple thing I've been speaking to you about. Like that, maybe a 5-pound box of money. That's all, that's all. It would be so heavenly and help me meet both ends. Yes, indeed. What old Pearl really needs is that 5-pound box of tin. How much can it weigh? I ask you, how much? I don't want the whole money tree. What good is that big thing to me? You keep the branches. You can keep the trunk and the root. Because all that I want is just a little bit of the fruit. So if you want to be sure, I'll be your little old honey, honey bunny. You try me. Start me off on Christmas night with a 5-pound. No, I better increase that. Make it 10 pounds. No, I better put in a good bag while I'm begging, because, I mean, I'll catch you next year. You know, people go out. Sometimes you don't see them no more, so bring the money. Santa, can you hear me? Try it. Bring me some money. Oh, Santa. Now, what I want with this dime? Are you kidding?
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. 5-pound box of money. That's what we're talking about. That one went out to Mayor Kurt Caldwell and the Supremes over there at Hart. They need more money, 5 pounds of money. No, give us 10. I thought that was kind of comical because it's the timing is right there during Christmas time and Grabowskis, and I'm inclined to call him Grabowskis. Any, you know, grabbing for straws, and you and I, what a wonderful Christmas present to wake up and be once again reminded that we're getting ripped, we're getting screwed, and still don't know what's going to come out with this rail and how it works. But a new name, as we like to play the name game, Grabowskis, and that is something really, I think it's out of control. It was never under control because we really didn't know what we were playing with, but today's newspaper, Star Advertiser, has an editorial. And one thing that caught my eye is that something suggesting that if, in fact, it is the GET is extended or they get what they want. And I'm thinking, is it not too late to just cancel the entire process, this rail? I don't really believe that we know and are able to quantify its total cost. And I surely don't believe it will rise to the level of producing what it's promised. And I'm not an economics professor, and I don't plan to be one. But I know after a while, and another stunning move or act that grabbed my attention was looking back. Didn't we give Grabowskis a big raise for all the wonderful work? And then just here recently we learned that we're a deficit and we need more money. Do we really reward people for failure who brings us bad news the next day after we give them the raise? But isn't the, I won't call it the Hawaii environment of politics, but it is, jars, you know, it just shakes you to ask, forces you to ask, what is our limits as taxpayers? When do we get pissed off? I'm not advocating for radicalism and get out there and fight and turning over cars and knocking doors down at the state office and wherever. But, you know, every day there's another assault on our common senses, whether it's HEI, whether it's environmental. And as you saw the other day on TV, there was a story regarding the ERF, the Emergency Revolving Fund. And then that one catches your eye because all of the building and all of the industrial activities being proposed and invited into the state of Hawaii and all those things that may have negative impacts or that will have negative impacts if not regulated or monitored or what have you. And do you know that the current statement is that this fund is threatened unless there's some emergency act or some measures taken quickly, the little enforcement that we do have in environmental protection is going to be yet knocked down another tier. And can we afford that? So I look at this entire thing is to say, what is this? What are we made of? Are we made of what the other states are made of, the same fabric? Do we have the same American values? We seem to be a herd of kitty cats or something. We one day, if it's not the rail, it's the next day it's HEI, the Hawaiian Electric, who holds us at gunpoint to you can't get solar power installed on your homes or individually or something. And these acts, we get the PUC head who violates the law with environmental issues on Kauai, and nothing happens. And you want to take that picture of scream and put it on a T-shirt and wear it every day, or just put on a mask because it drives you nuts. It's if you sit and listen to the average person here in the state of Hawaii in any conversation, they're moaning and bitching about everything and anything. But when it comes to doing something, it seems that we forget, or we forget that we have any power, any authority. So it's just absolutely puzzling, and we got many things to talk about today. And if you feel like it, give a call. And we will, whatever's on your chest, this is, we're going to fill our stockings today with.
Good
morning, caller.
I'd like to speak about the trains a little bit.
Okay. Let me ask you, if you could work with me in future shows, if you could. If it's in the last minute and a half, just hold it to the next week because it is rather distracting. But go ahead.
Okay, my simple answer to the trains to get you something, because we're giving, is they got to work on building the stations faster so they can move the train one length until they get two lengths, until they get three lengths, and fill out the whole route. And then I'd like to give a little warning. if anybody out there understands the process of fermentation, that the waste up there in Kauai, if it ferments both all of those items together, it will produce an end-all chemical. It's called a hallucinogenic if you ferment sewage. So you got to watch out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all I can add today.
Okay. Well, thank you. So watch out for fermenting feces.
It's called Jenka, J-E-N-K-A. It's an alchemist's manual.
Right. So what do you propose we do to prevent the sewage from being there in the first place, sir?
Use things like Roman plumbing and architecture to direct the waste products to a hemp farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it near rain, if possible.
So if you use human waste and with all of its constituents and toxins and that are associated with human waste now, antibiotics now, and you use that to fertilize or encourage the enhance the growth of hemp,
yeah,
or marijuana, will that it be passed on to humans? Any of those constituents, will the plants absorb them and pass them on?
Human waste is a separate issue.
I understand.
You can make that into another fluke and plumbing system and burn that in a plasma gas and have particles left over?
No, I'm talking about you. You said using it as fertilizer. That was my question. If you're using it...
Yeah, the dairy farm stuff.
Yeah, I know...
And the milk, too.
The what?
You can throw the milk out, too, like that.
You can throw the milk out?
There'll be surplus.
You lost me on that one. Go back...
There's spoilage in manufacturing, so you have to discard of it and hemp feed it.
Oh, okay, and you can use the milk to irrigate and feed the hemp?
Yeah, they're hungry little buzzards. They'll get like 100 feet out here.
Well, you know, in that frame of mind, hemp is a wonderful plant. You know, I'm wondering if we can grow it and train it to, and then grow pots along the city streets and reduce crime.
Your problem with hemp will be being able to get through it once it's established.
Think we could use hemp over at the hospitals to cure people? They just walk by and it has that.
That's our next call. Just a minute, I got to settle this computer down here. All right. So the hospital. What was that issue?
No, this wonderful plant called hemp. I hear so much about it, and I.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. With all of these prescribed uses, maybe we should further explore in using it to fight crime because it seemed to have just a miracle effect on everything.
On an L curve, you have in the middle a plant that has THC and CBD. Those are two reactive components in our chemistry.
Right.
If you go to the left side of the curve, you get more hemp industrial CBD plant. If you go to the right, you get more psychoreactive THC plant. Mm-hmm. There's three grades. Or strains, or genetics. There's ruderalis, there's indica, and there's sativa.
Yeah, and so this hemp, now, I hear it talked about, the super plant. Where do a person like myself develop an interest to know all of these details and what the application of it in any fashion? Did it start off first?
You can go to this Cannabis Cup Awards in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Every year in November and become fairly well educated in it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not suggesting that hemp isn't the wonder plant, but I sit around and I talk to people about airplanes, and they say, you know, hemp will cure that. It'll reduce the fuel. You say, well, people are cold in China. Oh, you know, hemp will fix that. My dog is tired of eating his old food. Oh, we'll make hemp dog food. You know, it's like the miracle plant, and I'm just trying to figure out.
It's more like, what would you have a taste for using it and how?
But does it come from the fact that the guys were sitting around smoking marijuana and came up and found all of these other properties that are so beneficial?
No, we're humans.
Okay.
Q is a high resonant frequency.
Okay.
Ma is the call for hemp in China thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Un is into infinity in Hebrew.
No, I know historically hemp has served a great role in many uses and applications, but I sometimes sit back and say there's something comical about this. Seem to be hemp is a magical place. So we should do away with defibrillators and just take hemp plants and set them in a room, an emergency room, and person walked by the magical plant. It seemed that everybody's selling it in such a great, the savior plant, I should say, or the sacred plant. And is it really all that?
Well, that effect that you're talking about is what the black market takes advantage of.
Okay.
That magical, mysterious, untouchable, we got a bag full, look at here. That's what that's all about. No, it's really just a herb, I guess, in biology. Look at it three ways. Hemp grade with low THC, and back up to the middle with THC and CBD.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the right where the THC increases and the CBD is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The CBD is a muscle relaxer. The THC is a psychoactive component. The other side is the industrial side, and it'll do things that you ask it to do.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, sounds like our government needs to get involved in...
They have. They've armed through the teeth against it because, you know, they want to establish the black market, sell arms, have a freaking society, and all kinds of arms races.
Small arms. Yeah, well, I do know that, I won't say it's hemp, but, you know, jumping continents in Africa, the whole war on terrorism in the early stages, we had U.S. federal agents and Fish and Wildlife Service and all those agencies going and sending special agents abroad to train game wardens to protect the elephant, but in reality, they were there to shoot and kill those camps that were being trained. And they use animal meat and bush meat and ivory.
Yeah, you bring up something I think we need, and I'm going to digress here. Remember that bus driver show with the wife and cohort? What was that called? Jackie Gleason and all that?
Mm-hmm.
You just declassified something. Wildlife game officials going to shoot up hostiles with guns. If we could run a spy show like that with a forgetful spy officer, a cohort, and a wife, that'd be a fantastic making something old new again TV series.
No, this is reality.
I know it.
The actual activity and
we got to declassify more stuff.
We'll go to the next call.
I got to get this computer shut.
Okay.
The second.
I think I've got my answer. Wait.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah. Well, nothing like a dedicated listener, and we appreciate that. But anyway, I was being a little flippant there with this hemp thing. I always try to figure out why does it and where does it get its great sacred, you know.
That mysterious allure is just advertising. It's basically an industrial resource with some nice pinstripes.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was in the United Nations all day listening to polka, so I'm having a great time.
Oh, okay. So tune in again. But anyway, I'm going to let you go, and if there's any other questions, today is just, I figured we'd just let, if you, anything you want to talk about.
I'm exhausted. I put it all on the table. I'm going on vacation.
Where are you going?
In bed.
To bed?
Yeah, both Hawaiians go to the federal penitentiary on vacation. I'm just going to bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's my joke for the season.
Okay. All righty.
Bye.
Well, from one turkey to another.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Have a good day and a happy Christmas. And for all of you out there, a happy Hanukkah, too. So, anyway, I'm going to take a little break here. I got a little itchy throat, and we'll be right back.
Christmas always comes this time of the year. Thank you.
Just for a little kiss, a diamond ring and motorboat, just for a little kiss. He said, I'll buy out the stores, everything I have is yours. I will be your Santa Claus, just for a little kiss. I'm getting heaven for Christmas, my little genie is mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I didn't wanna be bad. Jack promised me a ruby clip, just for a tiny squeeze. A wardrobe plus a Paris trip, just for a tiny squeeze. He said, dear, be nice to me, and on Christmas Day you see presents round your Christmas tree, just for a tiny squeeze. But I'm getting nothing for Christmas, my little Jackie is mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I didn't wanna be bad. I didn't wanna be bad. So take my advice, I think you should. It's good to be good, but not too good, or you'll get nothing for Christmas.
All right. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. The second half is going to be coming up in a bit, and we're going to just talk loosely here today. Please feel free to call in. Got any questions, comments, or it's down to the last couple days of the year, and we're going to be approaching a new year, so let's talk. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Can I listen on hold, or should I try the radio that don't work so well?
Pardon me?
Can I listen on hold?
No, you have to try on the, go to the internet.
I already did. I got two other things buffered. I don't
want
to go any further.
Yeah, no, it'll clog up one of the lines here.
All right, then. I'll try to read again.
All right, thank you. Hey, you know, didn't want to overlook, and we have our president, President Barack Obama is in town, and good to see that, I would say, in the spirit of Eartha Kitt, they're singing, I want nothing, I'll get nothing for Christmas. I wonder today, in the old days, people would be eager to, you know, to grow up and become the president of these United States. But man, the way things look now, whether it's Obama or George Bush or anyone, you'd have to be nuts, crazy, and just psychologically unstable, given the fact that you can't please anybody with anything, no matter what. Even the people that are working with you will shun you, and on and on. So a great statement about American politics and American culture. It's just I when George Bush was in, I didn't think that any one man could do so many things wrong. I mean, anything he did, it was wrong because it was Bush. And now that Obama's in it, he's wrong because he's Obama. No, I'm sorry, because he's the Messiah. No, what was it? Or he's Kenyan. No? Muslim. I can't keep up. But anyway, imagine how degraded our culture of politics have become in the last 15, 20 years. And when did that start? It's one thing to hold people, elected officials, accountable. It's another to just create subterfuge, and Bush had problems, and so did the senior Bush. Nothing was perfect. But I'm just speaking to the fact that, is it really worth becoming president anymore? And just asking this question, I'm not reflecting my belief, but is that why the Supreme Court felt that maybe we should start recognizing companies and enterprises as individuals? Because it's going to take a thin-skinned guy can't be in that role, and an insensitive guy, a sensitive person, I should say, wouldn't be able to function. But where are we headed with this as American people, as American voters? What is our psyche? Where do we stand on this? And speaking of that, now, with the president being here, and you know we have the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and we talk about them and the good and the bad, and mainly when it comes to the working, the men in the field, they're out there working midnight, daytime, if they are allowed to work, whenever they are out there. And you're going to have some that will slough. But the great, larger portion of the game wardens throughout the state care about the environment, but they don't get the support. And they get people that are handpicked to oversee them and to monitor and manage them. And so you get this crazy stuff. But for the last couple of years, the Department of Land and Natural Resources has a small unit or a cadre of men and women that have served on the presidential protection force with the Secret Service. So they provide some assistance in watercraft, because remember now, the only agency other than the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, or DOCARE, that has maritime enforcement capabilities right here, and I'm using that loosely, so is the United States Coast Guard. Well, just so happened now they've been, DLNR has provided these officers to work in concert with the Secret Service. So when the president and his family go swimming or goes to Hanama Bay, there is protection, and you can understand that. But for some reason, this year, the illustrious leader, Mr. Randy Awo, handpicked by Ms. Chief Kealoha and the other crew that selected the chief of DLNR, and William Isla, and Neil Abercrombie, who appointed this guy, Randy Awo, because of his political connections and the number of times he's cooked dinner in hell, you know, and provided dishwashing services at some of the political gatherings. You know, that's how it's done here in the state of Hawaii, right? You know, if you wash dishes and turn the pig slowly and get him roasted, and you are likely to get yourself a political position or get a high paid position. In this case, Awo, who was appointed, and we've talked about him extensively here on the Carol Cox Show, where he was stationed here temporarily, acting chief of law enforcement, appointed by William Ila, but he was allowed to maintain his residence on the island of Maui, and so on weekends he was allowed to travel to Maui at the expense of the taxpayer. And it is reported that he has two trucks dedicated to his own personal use, one here on this island so that he can use it, and then one on Maui. So anyway, you can see what we're talking about is expense and cost to the taxpayer. And so you would think that's a luxury. And while in the meantime, many of our environmental issues go unaddressed, reports of poaching and entering protected lands or violations of various conservation rules in the state. But no one is there to really go out and get and take care. Well, this year, now Randy Awoh, I'm told, reportedly, he is on vacation, burning out his vacation hours, and will be tenuring his retirement, filing his retirement papers. This is the talk in the air right now. So Awoh, reportedly, is on Maui, on vacation, and so the question comes up, if the Secret Service is needing some assistance just for Christmas Day and New Year's Day, assisting the Secret Service, and this service is going to be provided by DLNR as they've done in the past years. Well, for some reason, now remember all this money that ILA has tolerated them wasting and spending, and they got new trucks, they have positions that are vacant, we have people on rope or officers that are out on suspension because they've committed some alleged violation of some process, administrative process or what have you. Well, this is the acting director, Jason Redula, of law enforcement, who is sitting in now for the position of Randy Awoh, who's on vacation, mind you. And Redula communicates in an email stating that we need to control the schedule overtime. Now, this is the President of the United States, the only other agency that provides maritime law enforcement direct work is the United States Coast Guard. The DLNR has taken this before and have handled it, and the President has been safe, and that's what the goal is, and no problems. But this email states, we need to control the schedule overtime, states Jason Redula, acting law enforcement chief. While the branches authorize 50% on-duty personnel for holiday overtime actually performed on Christmas Day and New Year's Day for actual DLNR resource-related work, there is no need to schedule POTUS, that acronym for President of the United States, support on these days, as there will be no reimbursement. Now let's take a look at that little portion. Show you, this is why I say ILA has to go, Awoh, he has to go, Redula, that the whole process over there needs to be changed. And if there's consideration on the part of Hige, the new governor, to retain this kind of behavior and this hierarchy and this stratus of people, it's wrong. You need to give some new thought to this. So, again, there's no need to schedule POTUS support on these days, as there will be no reimbursement. Therefore, do not stand up President of the United States support, meaning don't, the term stand up, don't post, don't dedicate any time, don't dedicate any men or assign any men to support on Christmas and New Year's Day. Now, within the contract, ladies and gentlemen, the game wardens get paid, the state workers get paid for Christmas Day anyway. Whether they sit at home and eat turkey with their family or go golfing or go spearfishing, go look for Hihivai and Molokai. They're going to get paid anyway. They want to work. They love it. But because someone got a burr in their shorts and the ignorance and show you the chief, again, Awo is on vacation, waiting supposedly to tenure his resignation and retirement. And yet, they're denying and refusing to provide just three men to provide services to assist the Secret Service in protecting the President of the United States. So all personnel assigned to POTUS duties, the President of the United States, should take the holiday off, either on the actual holiday or on their first day back as appropriate. Now, look, when the Interior Department was here doing those bogus meetings with the Hawaiian homes issues, and you remember the Esther Kaikina, or whatever her name is, former deputy director, chairman of the DLNR, they spent thousands of dollars for several conservation officers to accompany the Interior Department people throughout the islands. And yet, they believe that they don't have to provide or shouldn't or what have you provide any protection or assistance to the Secret Service in protecting the President of the United States. I'm sorry, it's a matter of tug of war. I believe they're right, they believe they're wrong, but it's their right and their duties. But come on, folks, if you're being paid anyway a salary, and you're going to get paid a holiday, and the men are willing to work, it's their love. I've spoken with many of them. And yet, someone from a higher position is flipping about it, and look at the position and the protection of the President of the United States and his family as being insignificant. So this email goes on. Chief Awohi has been briefed and concurs with this. Well, if he's on vacation and you got an acting, why the hell you need the chief involved, and the chief is going to retire? Please inform the Secret Service accordingly. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just seen the most despicable example of lazy-ass state workers, selfish, just simply no care. It's all about the money. Now, there's open positions, salaried positions. That money is reportedly taken and diverted and bought. They all bought forerunners, not all, but the higher-ups bought forerunners. And if you know like I know, these guys in the office don't get in the field much, so they don't need fancy forerunners. But you tell me you can't assign. And if you're paying the game warden or the employee Christmas and New Year's anyway to be off, it's a paid holiday, maybe there's a differential, or maybe a $9 difference, or whatever the amount would be. But again, we're talking about the President of these United States. So this is what we deal with while we see them talk about. We have Esther Kiaina traveling about and has an entourage, and there's five or six game wardens dedicated to that, to the employees of the Department of the Interior. and they spent handsomely, but yet couldn't come up with a few extra dollars to provide payment or reimbursement to the officer who would be serving to protect in a marine environment the President of the United States. This happens right here, folks. Whatever your politics is, Republican, liberal, straight, whatever, right-winger, whatever, teabagger, this is the perfect example of things gone wrong. For more than a year, you can allow the acting director to fly back and forth on the public's dollar, on the taxpayer's dollar, per diem, food and drink and water and gas and all of that, and per diem, and to cover all of that while you're a TA, and yet the President of the United States lands here, and you can't, for some reason, come up with $9 or whatever the amount would be. You should be kissing the earth when you get that opportunity, because that translates, that's the highest reward where you can wave your flag and say to many others, look at us, we're law enforcement, we were entrusted with the President's safety, we contributed to the safety of the President, we, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. This is how you get your kudos. This is how you look at others and you say, the legislators, and you rise out of the ashes of the old negativity that you had. But no, they're not in the business of, the upper management is not in the business of protecting anything. It's about politics. It's about, I'll wash the dishes at the banquet or the fundraiser, political fundraiser, and then you're going to give me a job. And then I'll get in that job and I'll do what the heck I want to do, how I want to do it. So we're going to be approaching Governor Ige and asking him, how much of this will you be allowing and will you tolerate? This is nonsense. Now, these are not my values. This is communicated in this information that we have. And I can only tell you, you would think if the chief, the head of law enforcement, Randy O'Woe, he obviously was consulted, you would think that he himself would contact the Secret Service and politely and respectfully inform them that he cannot provide, will not provide, protection for the President or support to the Secret Service, because, as he say, that while the branches authorize 50% on-duty personnel for holiday overtime actually performed on Christmas Day and New Year's Day for actual DLNR resource-related work, there is no need to schedule POTUS support on these days, as there will be no reimbursement. But they're authorized, so it's just a simple matter of whether the chief would just take a pencil and say, I authorize this. So, I don't know. That's just shameful. But again, as we've reported, and I know that there's this propensity to look at individuals and say, he's a good guy. Speaking of Isla and Iwo and others, he's a good guy. The reality is, good guy is okay. It does okay if you're sitting around playing cards and, you know, and he won't cheat on you, or you're playing dominoes or some game and he, you know, and he helps a little lady cross the street. That's a good guy. But when the more substantial and more significant issues and opportunities come and you look at those decisions, and when they can squander money and overtime. Now, I'm really, it's difficult to let this one go, because I know how nonsensical and insane this whole process is, because when I look at the President of the United States, that position, and a conservation department cannot provide three men for 2 days protecting the president or supporting the protection, and yet every time a camera crew comes to Honolulu to film, you have an army of game wardens sitting around there doing nothing, protecting the camera crew on state land. But to go a greater insult is, well, there's a fireworks show, and by golly, we got to get down there, and you got a permit to display fireworks, but you also have to have a DLNR, and that becomes special duty, and you assign an officer or officers. See where this is going? So the importance, and whether it's Barack Obama, George Bush, George Bush Sr., any future president, it speaks to the nonsense that is tolerated in the agency of the Department of Land and Natural Resources on the ILA. This is what we're talking about. Don't want to make it political, but folks, I'm sorry. And you might say, well, it's not the responsibility of the state to protect the president. Well, they've already been doing it. And they can come up with a good answer why they should stop. And whatever the politics are, it just makes no sense. And so, again, we've talked about these things on air here before, similar. And there's a complaint again with the union. The HGEA just wrote Randy O'Wool on November 7th, 2014, grievance. In accordance with the grievance procedures, Unit 3, bargaining, background, the union agent and the Department of Land and Natural Resources personnel, Alisut, were not able to informally resolve this issue. On or about October 2014, it was brought to the union's attention that DCREO Administrator Randy Elwell had assigned a conservation and resource enforcement officer to a temporary assignment into a vacant CREO Conservation Resource Officer 4 field supervisor position. It is our understanding that there are approximately 33 CREOs with more seniority than the CREO who received the temporary assignment. This is rampant, folks. And I'm going to lay out other things and share with you. We have the making of a corrupt group of men who scratches the back. And if you think I'm exaggerating, this is the beginning. This is the nursery of corruption right there in the DLNR. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to lay it out and I'll share it with you where one worker who's been moved up and promoted and acting is now also acting, but also running a security position head at the stadium. And his boss, who he works for at DLNR, also works for the stadium security. And on and on and on. Corruption. This is how you get guys that go and do things that are illegal under the color of enforcement. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. You got a comment, a question?
Yeah, thanks for speaking at length from your heart and from good experience.
Okay.
Corruption, I'm going to say, is going to have to be a small percent of the big picture. So whatever they make over there just kind of makes the economy jingle a little more. And I'd like to appreciate that woman that called in on the poker show that was talking on issues like you do. Just encourage people to talk like our Howie's out here, and they'll get it going.
Yeah, I didn't hear the conversation about what was said on poker show, but
United Nations 111 advanced class.
Okay.
All about the. Why don't you talk nice about Cuba for us?
Who, me?
Yeah. Why we should take them and all that.
Why we should take Cuba?
No, well, not that way. You know, just like be friends. Share recipes, have family visits, get started off right.
Well, my only comment is that we should have done this a long time ago. I mean, we're in business with Germany.
Yeah, see, that's just to bridge the black market, Cuba being illegal. Stop all the illegalities.
Yeah, we still deal with Belgium and France, and look at the atrocities they presented in South Africa, and it's still going on today in the French and the Dutch and all those. So it's based on that, I asked the question, why haven't this been done a long, long time ago? But again, once you start to hate someone, I guess it's hard to start loving them.
Have you got room for an apartheid joke?
Apartheid joke?
Yeah.
But no offenses now.
No, it might be colorful, but not harsh. Okay, so you know there was apartheid over there, and it was illegal for one class to use the beach and another one could?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about Mississippi, man.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So then the United Nations ruled, and finally both classes could use the water. But then they put a sign on the beach that said only one class could come back out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Well, thank you for that one. Yeah.
So let me listen to your good informed reporting and hope other ladies can call in and other people learn how to talk like one Howley, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's... I wouldn't go the first say we need to talk like, quote, Howleys. I mean...
That's how it goes here. So it's a new, what's it called, dialect.
Yeah, you know, because I when I hear that, and what do we use to gauge love and freedom and respect for the other man?
Well, for love you can use aviation, and for freedom you can use science. And if you speak English clearly and longly enough, you'll be deeply vested in a language that lets you speak science and aviation.
Yeah, but honestly, you have to look what is occurring and has occurred. You take Australia. There was a native people there, and they're decimated. Their population is decimated, and yet you see the growth of others.
I've had to think about that in depth, and I'll look at it like this. Around the world, tribes exist,
right.
Hunter-gatherers.
I understand, but then let's go to New Zealand. There's a native people decimated, and let's go to the Middle East and all those areas, and let's go to Africa. Tribal people decimated populations, and they've moved. And
somehow, that's evolution. The tribes go into civilizations, and the civilizations bury each other.
You've never seen a gun in the evolutionary process, in the natural process.
Below guns galore.
Right? No. Now, when we introduce the gun, I'm just saying. So then we come to America, and we see there was a native people here. You see these similarities around the world?
Yeah, they're all metabolizing, looking for flesh.
Right, so we have to be careful when we prescribe what we do to approach this. We haven't even begun to answer the older issues and the older atrocities, and we are told to stay away from those issues.
How many strong vegetarian cultures do we have in the past?
Well, I don't know, but I don't
That's
know anybody has been beat to death with the broccoli. But anyway, we'll talk in the next hours.
All right, Doc.
Aloha.
Bye.
Merry Christmas, baby. You really did treat me nice. Merry Christmas, baby. You really did treat me nice. Bought me a hi-fi for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudy join in any reindeer game. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudy the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide mine sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudy the red-beaked reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Rudolph, Rudolph, Rudolph.
Children playing by a fireside, each one hoping old Santa will loan them a reindeer to ride. The sleigh bells should soon start a ringing, they're waiting so anxiously, hoping to see old Santa as he comes down the chimney. A million socks are hanging Christmas tree, and a million ears are listening. Father Russell in the news, a bag full of toys on his shoulder. Sure, there'll be a stampede, but I'm wishing old Santa God's
show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here. Anyway, 524-1080, anything you want to talk about or want to say hello to your loved ones out there to Christmas time's coming and Hanukkah and there's Kwanzaa coming up and all of the other holidays, but wouldn't it be nice if that every year we get closer to the peace line where we do away with the instruments of destruction and learn to respect each other's beliefs and religious beliefs or whatever, and just back off the line and realize that it is the belief that is really what we're, many of us, is at odds with. What you believe, what I believe, how I should approach it with my belief, and how you don't respect my belief, and on and on and on. And I don't want to simplify. I'm sure there's greater causes or elements that contribute to the chaos in the world. But I think if we stood back and look at it, many of these chaotic moments or incidences or errors stem from religious views and how we express ourselves with one another and how we tend to say mine's right and yours wrong. And we just need to know that once we incorporate and know what our beliefs are, respect those and ask others to respect them, and we do likewise. But there's something else when there's land and money and resources and all of the other things. Survival of a nation and the strength of a nation is dictated by basic natural resources. As many people like to stay away from and are frightened of the environmental discussions, it is just that drives and fuels the health and welfare and the strength of a nation. There are natural resources. And so whether we say religion may be a causal factor in violence and abroad and on, you know, wars, but in reality, many of these, it comes down to manipulation of another person or another entity to obtain, get their resources, their natural resources, you know, whether it's coal, diamonds, gold, oil, whatever. So if we could just work past that and realize, then we'll see some peace. And we go into Missouri and I still can't bring myself to understanding some of the comments on both sides where we know a fact. I mean, if I told you the number of times that I have been profiled and pulled over and you name it, just because I'm a black man, I don't expect to tell anybody that, and don't expect you to give a damn, because first of all, it'll come, you know, the first thing is, well, you really think it was because of your race, you know, and so, you know, I don't know which is more painful, being pulled over by a cop who just looks at you because you're driving while black, or in a neighborhood, and some communities, the police, they pick and choose, and they have the security forces to make sure that the people that don't belong in that community, what have you. And historically, African Americans and people of color have had to be out of certain towns by the time 8 o'clock at night. So we need to just come to reality and accept it, that the only way we're going to get past it, there are policemen out there that they're just hell-bent on, they want to be in the French, plus the fighting forces, they missionaries, they want to be out there in harm's way. That's where they get their juices flowing. But there's the bulk of us don't want that. And it's a reality. I mean, the greatest insult is to have a video of a gentleman being choked, pushed down, head down, and then you have an audience to say, well, it really wasn't a chokehold. Okay, let's get past that. This man is dead. And I think that's where the pain comes. It's not the actual act. There are bad people. The greater pain for me as a person, things happen. It's the explanation and the dismissal, the flippant remarks that people chime in. They weren't there, they don't know the history, and then they try to reduce it as being just a small mistake, or it was a discretionary problem. No, anytime a human being gives his life or loses his or her life, the conversation, it's a different conversation. And we owe it to ourselves and to the individual and to the person, because if a person gets away with such acts, like the police, I'm sorry. We need to start addressing these cases individually, not sit back with the Fox News mindset and, well, you know, he must have been doing something wrong. And just share with you, when I'm pulled over, you're just thinking, wow, that's funny. How'd you pull me over? Well, these are the kinds of things that you get. You look like a guy that robbed a bank in Missouri or Wisconsin. Well, I know, but I'm in Florida. Yeah, I know, but, you know, well, can you show me a picture of it? And this is where it goes south. What do you mean, show you a picture? You want to be a smart ass? Get out the car. You understand? You folks, you don't know what transpires or takes place on these dark roads when the officer, and mind you now, a lot of you are going to put a lot of stock in these cameras that they're going to wear. Keep in mind, you're only going to see, if the guy's wearing the camera, you're only going to see what you're doing. You might hear what the officer is doing, or you might hear what the other officer is doing, but don't bank on these cameras to be the factor, or the truth, or the decider in truth. No. So you get questions like, well, we pulled you over because you... wait, what do you mean? I made a left turn. That didn't make a left turn. And just sharing with you folks, the listeners out there, the simplest... I mean, you can't bring yourself to understanding this, but it escalates from a lie, because you see, you're questioning authority. You're a black person in a car, and authority just pulled you over. Authority now. You have no right to ask a question. You have no right to do anything, because the ultimate, the supreme being with the badge has spoken. He's taken an action. And it escalates from there. And I'm just trying to convey to some of you out there that put a lot of stock in what you see on these little minis. But in reality, a simple question of, it's offensive to be pulled over for no reason other than being black. For no reason. And then you ask the question, as any intelligent or educated person would do, who would say, well, you know, I know my rights. Why are you doing this? And you get this smart mouth cop who works for the system, who's the authority, who's the supreme being, and immediately it goes south from there. Anything you say, you have now not only become a person who's been singled out, but now you're a smart-ass person who's been singled out. And then it goes from there. You don't ask no questions. I do the talking. This is what you hear as an African-American. I don't know, can't speak. But for me, this is the kinds of questions you hear. You see. Who do you think you are? What? You understand? Get out of the car. Show me some ID. Well, you know. And you hear quite often when people are asking, what did I do wrong? I do the questioning. You just sit up and get out the car. And so, unless you know how belittling it feels and how insulting and it can be, I would say, many of you, the spectators who are sitting out there, is to just let the process work. Because if you only knew, when you see a policeman with black gloves on, and dark shades, and a skinhead, That's one thing you don't want to see. I applaud the state here, the city here, for the tattoos and what have you, because it signifies, yes, it's an expression of one's, but in a uniform, it's justice. It's about being fair. It's about staying. The public should look at the police department as a means of getting justice and not being treated unjustly. But there are so many things, and I'm putting together a show to talk about some of the things and lay them and share with you. You know, we shy away from the word, the N word, and the reality is, I'm going to share with you in coming weeks, next year, where many people that are educated. And they say, well, you know, the use of the N-word is this and that. But do you know that Mother Goose nursery rhymes actually talk about the 10 little niggers? It's not my statement. That's Mother Goose. You know that Agatha Christie, the very famous writer, Indian Island, 10 little niggers? So, a great number of times that we people say, oh, you should get over it. You can't get over it when it's indelibly etched in the minds of many and used as education. You can't get over it. It's not for me to get over it. So racism, sexism, hatred, whether you're black or white, if you're black and you're projecting on someone that's white and you hate them because they're white, you're just as stupid as they can come, and vice versa. We need to get past all of that. And I mean talk turkey, just straight talk, none of this peace, love, and happiness. Call it what it is. Don't be shy of the N-word. Learning that the N-word is not something that most people should be afraid of. We should own up to it. Know that it came about because it was an injustice that was being projected on a people, and it came out of that era. And then we in turn use it, whether you think it's right, wrong, indifferent, it's being used. But let's look at the historical aspect of it. Let's look at the education of the police officers. Let's look what is required. And I'm sorry, but when you look at a police force and you look at the makeup of the community, you don't have to be a scientist to figure that one out. And this is, there's still this historical leftover from controlling people of color, the us and against them factor. We need to address all of those issues, and you'll see a decline. Now, I can't explain to you why kids, and not just black kids, walk around with their butts hanging out with their belts. I'm going to concede. I just think that's just a human flaw in the minds of humans, because I see all kids walking around, and I'm thinking, my God, if nothing else, you might have a right, but how stupid it is to go and buy a belt and don't use it. You spent your money, then buy pants and don't use them, don't pull them up. And you buy underwear and that's all you're showing. Why don't you just save your money and buy, you know? So I agree with you on this, the hanging pants bit. I figure that's just a sign of stupidity, waste of money, if at a minimum. But these other things, folks, there is a culture out there that, If I'm driving through Mississippi, I make it a habit, and in the South, and even in Chicago area, in some of those upper echelon neighborhoods, and even in Beverly Hills, you're singled out because, you see, they are looking for crime. They want to keep crime off the streets. But how many of those people there that live in Beverly Hills commit greater crimes? And you don't see them being pulled over and harassed because they have lawyers. You don't see them being choked to death because they have lawyers. But there's a hatred that none of us want to speak about. There's a racism that none of us wish to speak to. It's in the air. It's everywhere. It's here in Hawaii. It's everywhere. Not everyone is racist. But when you stand back and you look just at what has happened with the native people, I know some say, well, we don't want to be like the blacks and show that we're weak or got a chip on our shoulder. I will just whisper these words. You are still being screwed, no matter what position you take, what angle how you view it. You were overthrown illegally. You were taken, and you're quick to say, well, we're not going to behave like the blacks. You're being unjustly treated. Who is unjustly treating you? You know, I see a lot of times people say, well, we're going to take back our country. And you see how many guns there are? You see all of this? It's about gunplay. And the guns in the streets of Chicago and everywhere else. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, Carol, you're talking about some serious issues. And we can get some relief if we come up with funny dog names. Like sit down crime, roll over crime, fetch crime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can you come up with some funny dog names to help us lighten this thing up?
Say what?
Colonists, colony, colonizers, sit down colonizers, roll over colonizers.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I tend not to talk about these things publicly because it starts with just a human aspect of it. It's how we are brought up, what we're taught, and what we tolerate, you see. And
yeah, what's that funniest dog name we all know? Sit down who?
Rover?
No. What does a dog say when he sits on sandpaper?
I don't know. Roof.
Roof. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But there's some funny dog's name. Like Precious or something. Sit down Precious. Roll over Precious.
But I don't know I don't know the issue. Some people shy away from it, and then we see it on the evening news, and then there's one side of the audience says, "Well, you know, the grand jury picked and by his peers," and then you read it and say, "Oh, well, wait, he's been judged by his peers, but they're all white males, or one black and 11 white males." Wait, hold it. How are they his peers?
Well, I'd like to feel like we could start treating each other like humans instead of dogs.
Yeah, well, I guess that would be one way to stop kicking your dog, stop, you know. And there are elements within, I see many people that, you know, the guy driving around and trying to sell drugs. That's when the red light should go on. And you know, you understand?
Oh, come on, those are just targets. How about the airlines that keep jacking out stupid prices? Your dog.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying in the South, don't let them dog me. You used it, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. I say there's many a crime being committed, but you don't see them being pulled over. But, you know, but again.
Well, who's the investigation chain? If the city, county police is no good, you call the sheriff. Then you go to the FBI.
Yeah.
You go to the National Rifle Association, where do you go?
Yeah, and you look at the makeup of these agencies. I mean, the big lie is that they can't find qualified people. Well, I guess if you keep looking on the rocks, you'll never find any, will you?
Well, I always hate it when you need to go through lie detector tests or other security checks when you get hired for a job. It's the first thing they think you're a thief. Then if they don't think you're in on the profit plan, they're not teaching you right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just look at it and see how things unfold and how certain media portrays it and presents it. And it's like, you know, wait, stop. A man just died, period.
Yeah.
You
mentioned that earlier, you know, about you couldn't hear worse things about President Bush when he was in office.
Mm-hmm.
All those talk show hosts, maybe you included, pardon the expression, would have to accentuate the negative to have anything to say rather than blow into the cell, you know, they're throwing rocks in the way.
No,
depression, it's called the Mead. They do it at Columbia University. It's the oldest priestly class in the world.
No, I didn't say that's an insurance policy to say that you shouldn't talk about it. I'm saying that
freedom of speech is really dangerous,
No, it's freedom of speech is never dangerous. It's the freedom of truth being spoken. And then when you take it and you take a lie and you incorporate a lie and present it as truth, that becomes a problem.
So, that's called the why, man. If I don't hear an excuse in somebody's expression, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's the difference. It's there's nothing perfect, and as you heard me say earlier, no matter what president, yes, I've had negative things to say, but it was based on information in a specific vein, not just generally speaking that, you know, that George Bush is a thug. No. It was on specific.
All the media's going to do is think they have some, and then they talk about their personal lives. I mean, really, who cares?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I noticed one thing here lately in politics. They say, you know, if you and I went out as journalists or photographers and we took pictures of people's children, right?
Right.
And, oh, that's wrong. That's a violation. That's unethical, right?
Right.
But then they then turn around and put their children on these flyers to say, my dad is a good man. You should vote for him. My daddy gives fish and he cut bait good and you should fish for him, right?
Yeah, well, I get a bad impression from this. Michael Medved said he didn't understand the sport of watching people play video games, and they're doing it in South Korea and convention size loads. He just couldn't comprehend. Has a man never put a quarter on a pinball machine to play or watch?
Well, yeah. And
that's the kind of news you get.
And yeah, exactly. And when a man openly say that he's never and boasts about it, that he's never played, it's like, well, okay, and yet you're going to place judgment on
people? Yeah, exactly.
You see.
That's their
being purist. You see, and
Puritans, yeah, no Christmas for you.
And so they end up with statements that they're insensitive, and you think, wow, a man just died. Did you see the same video that I saw? I mean, a man died in the choking of selling cigarettes, and it's like, okay, which is more important, enforcing the law or
the more important thing here is not to have zealotry, because
yeah.
Dennis Prager talked about anti-smoking zealotry was a contributing factor to that man getting snuffed by or medically failing when he was set on.
Well, I listened to those same lines, but the bottom line is that how many other people were being snuffed for selling cigarettes? Dennis Prager wouldn't. Linguistics. You know,
the big principle is there's too much black market and not enough leave me alone.
Yeah, it's blocking and bridging. You know, they're going to show compassion for they being, I heard Rush Limbaugh and some others, and they all spoke the same thing.
They're called talking points, you know.
Right, and it's right there says to me, well, gee, isn't that funny?
Isn't the Drudge Report the volcano in the morning and then everybody's all spitted out by 9 p.m.?
Right, and so we're really never addressing, that's what I was alluding to, you're never really addressing the issue, the real issue of why this man died, of the issue
yeah.
of black people being assaulted by police officers. And so that people understand something.
Well, let's go with this. It's 12 days of Christmas, I suppose. Say 12 nice things about President Barry Barack Hussein Obama Satoru, and then watch the TV series White Collar where they use the name Barry Satoru.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's done with purpose, but, you know, what we do in this world is we play games with words, and we say enough to, okay, we've addressed that. But there was this thing about selling cigarettes, and they killed him because he didn't pay taxes and what have you, and the tax
okay.
man should be killing people on the street.
Is our president using an e-cig?
No, this is those the right wing commentators and I'm thinking, gee, I think this is really nice to see them openly take a subject and never talking about the real issue.
Yeah, is my president an insomniac?
I don't know.
I'd like to.
Why would you like to know if he's an insomniac?
Be curious to know how red his eyes were in the morning.
Oh. Well, you know, he's in town. Maybe you might want to write him an email and ask him. But
yeah, sure.
You know. But
Whitehouse.gov.
Yeah, you'll never get fairness because historically what we've built on is something.
Well, what's some nice things you can say for our audience today because he's in town?
What's a nice thing you can say?
About President Obama.
We're glad to have you. And hope there's more of you.
Okay.
And we can clone them.
you're not perfect, and that's America, because you see, I used to sit on the back of the bus. I used to walk past one fountain that says white only.
Yeah.
I personally, and this isn't a dreamland, and the Jim Crow was very, I went to school, went to the fields, picked cotton, chopped cotton, picked cotton, so that the children, the white schools, could take that money and buy new buses and give us the old buses. I was on opening day of school. We got the torn books and the ragged books that were given to us from the other schools, even though we were in the same school district. So, yeah, been there, done that, seen it all.
Well, my president, he's like a home run hitter because he knows Indonesian, studied Islam.
Right.
He came to Hawaii and learned everything we all know that's kind of current here. And then he carried all that to Chicago and learned from the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Slid into Washington, D.C., hitting a home run, and the CIA is still protecting him. How much better you want? He can talk to anybody. He's a super tumor.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of president do you want?
But on the other hand, black men and women are being shot on the streets. And here's another thing, you know, as I'm sure some are saying that, but see, you don't want to speak to the issue of black-on-black crime. You see, when you quantify that, it's nothing nice about anybody killing anyone. And there's nothing nice about the inner-city murder rate. Nothing nice. I wish I could flip a switch and it all stop and go away.
It's coming. That switch is called the cop cam, and you got to look both ways.
No, yeah, but
and watch the audience too.
Yeah, but again, you see, this is the problem. We all have our little answers, but we've not lived and not willing to listen to the full. Let the story play itself out.
With analysis, you will.
Yeah, hold on.
Getting better analysis with cop cam.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I just wanted to see Barack Obama's and Uncle Tom.
Good. So what's his name now? Barack Obama, Uncle Tom, what is it? You there? You there? Anyway, the caller, if you didn't hear, this is Barack Obama is an Uncle Tom. Well, you know, I've always said that when you say someone is an Uncle Tom, ask yourself, where did that term come from? And how did it, and why did it come there? And then once you understand that, how could you say that the President of the United States is an Uncle Tom? And again, and then, you know, this is when you really get credibility. You call into a talk show, and then you make your statements and you run. You know, call back and give us some more information and explain why you think that he is an Uncle Tom and why you think he's reach that conclusion. But again, this is the kinds of activities out there going on. And it's like, you ain't going to answer anything. You're not going to fix anything with drive-by sniping with words. Sit down. Take it upon yourself to talk the real issues. Listen. And have a little kindness in your heart. If when a person loses their life, it's not your normal discussion. It shouldn't be handled like, well, you know, maybe he was deserving it, and maybe he was combative. You try living a normal life, driving down the street, doing your own thing, and being pulled over, and you see no one else being pulled over, and you know that you've done nothing wrong, and you have a right to ask. You know, if you're being accused of something, you should be able to ask. Show me the evidence. Tell me why you're pulling me over. And until you walk in these moccasins, you'll never know. You'll never know why someone starts screaming, because it hurts. It really hurts when someone singles you out because of your skin color. And I don't give a damn what you want to introduce to the game. When your skin color is a factor in how people treat you, then the conversation should start and stop right there on that subject. Let's fix that first. Then talk about how I did this wrong or what I did wrong, if you thought I did. But when we're prompted by things that don't make sense. We have sexism, we have discrimination in workplaces against women, and people have no problem coming to the terms and openly talking about that. So if a person can be sexist, why can't a person, a department, be racist? If they're not hiring women because of their gender, then why is it that you can't conclude that they're not hiring people because of their race? Are we just going to fix one aspect of society's problems and move on, or what? But anyway, it's a long, hard subject and too difficult to deal with. But I just thought, and the reason I did that chat with you, many of people ask me, you never talk about that. You're a black man, and you never talk about those issues. Never heard you talk about it. Because I don't think anybody out there really want to talk about it. Because every time I hear, well, you see the guy, no. I just say, when the ultimate price is paid, the ultimate price, when one's life is given or taken, then there should be a serious discussion, not just drive-by sniping and orchestrated talking points to advance one's political stance or cause. Caller, go ahead with your comment.
Hey, what's your take on Bill Cosby? I think white Hollywood's attacking him. After all these years, man, I think you get a vendetta against Bill Cosby. I'll listen off the air. Thanks,
yeah.
Brother.
Yeah. I don't know about Bill Cosby, wasn't there. I don't want to play judge, but I can only say I wouldn't want to be in that predicament where years go by and all of the women come out and I don't know if the similarities and what they're accusing him of stems from them individually or they seek justice. I know nothing about Bill Cosby. I just know that having lived around Hollywood and living in Hollywood there and L.A., you see some strange things. And it was quite common in the discussion that quite often men actually spite the drinks of women. So I'm not going to say it's impossible and I'm not going to say it's true, but I think if the women put their evidence out there, it's never too late. The public will know, and Bill will have to speak for himself and own up to it or speak to address it and deny it or what have you. But I don't really know anything about that situation, and I'm very careful. But the women coming together, and if I don't want to say that they're working in concert. It's just that if, you know, modus operandi. If a person learns something works, and it works so well, and it's quite possible. So I'm not going to say yay or nay that he did or didn't do it. But also, I would just share with you, if you sit back and watch this thing, and the disparity, you see Michael Jackson knocked him off the tier. He was, right? Now, was he a child molester? Was he all of those things accused? Don't know. But they succeeded in ripping him apart. There's nothing to say that he was guilty. No one has presented documents or through an investigation. It just seemed the disparity in how matters have happened. O.J. Simpson, did he kill the lady? He was found not guilty, but they found him guilty in a civil matter. Did he go to jail for a baseball card and using a gun in Arizona? I'm sure he did. But he's sitting in jail. It's a big payback, you see. So it's okay if you draw parallels and similarities. The number of whites making up a jury in Missouri, for example, if it's a black person and he's found guilty, no problem. But O.J., there were black people, the majority, found not guilty. There was a problem. So, again, it's about people and their perception and their willingness to deal with race. And I mean really deal with it, because when when I see people here, for example, from Mississippi, and they have clubs out here, Mississippi Club and whatever, and or you meet them out there on this beach and talking, where are you from? Oh, I'm from the Delta, Mississippi. Oh, I am too. And you should see the love and the bubbly feeling and how great love it is. But the two of you know that once you get back on the plane and go back to Soweto or Mississippi, you're supposed to act a certain way. You see, they haven't really gotten to the point where all things are created equal. Every man, woman, and child are equal. But when we're away from that cesspool, we become human. But when we go back, we don our suits on and we know how to act accordingly. So don't be fooled. America really has never dealt with this issues of race. We've evolved, and we think that by seeing marriages accepted and tolerated, but there are many enclaves, many communities that you go in and you have to ask yourself, how did you get an all-black community? Why? Why do we have black sororities? Why? Why do we have black churches? Why? I mean, we're praying to one God. Why do we have black churches and black sororities? And why? Because we collectively never dealt with our real issues about racism. You see, and I'm not preaching to you. I'm just giving you a little perspective from a person who watched this, and I see the manipulation in the media, and it gets nothing done. And in fact, it drives a greater wedge between the relationships and getting to what America needs. For America to survive in today's world, in this global expansion, we're going, as we know it, as the land of the free and the land of plenty and all of that, we are going to have to, whether you agree with me or not, we're going to have to deal with it, or we will find ourselves living in locked communities with our own security guards and security staff and hiring commercial security companies along with the police departments to the tanks and all of those super weapons that the police departments have. Now, mind you, some of these thugs get AK-47 and they get semi-automatic weapons. And you need force to suppress it. I'm not going to protect the public. But a lot of this police activity now is part of the old game to suppress people. And then in turn, pulling you over just because you're driving while black is part of that process. Unless many of you got other answers or explanations as to why this happens, please share with me. But I've found no reason why, you know. I've been personally standing at a phone booth there in Hillsdale, Illinois, when I was a special agent. Guy pulls me up, and got his hand on his gun and want to know who I am. What am I doing there? And because I was making the storekeeper nervous, you see, and I'm in a federal government issued vehicle with every antenna in the world on it, and this gentleman, this sheriff, a policeman, come up and assaulted me. I was in Beeville, Texas, as a special agent working with in a covert effort with a surveillance team. And we stopped in Beeville, Texas, to take a rest while the person we were surveilling took a rest. And I wake up in the dark of night being kicked by Sheriff Gonzalez. Now, mind you, I'm one African-American there with about 9 other special agents, all white. And this sheriff, Gonzalez, come up and kicked me. And we're there in federal-issued cars, mind you. And I'm on a piece of cardboard because we've been traveling for days, and we finally got a time to do some shut-eye and waiting for the suspect to move and drive on. And I get kicked. And it's demanded of me that I show my badge, or some ID. I gave him my federal badge and was told, this ain't going to do it. He actually tried to call it in, to see if badge was stolen. Now, mind you, around me is all white special agents. Why didn't one of them get kicked? And so their way of dealing with it, we went back to St. Paul later that year and had a regional meeting. And they saw such comedy in it that they, unbeknownst to me, took the cardboard and rolled it up that I was using for. And we were all trying to sleep anywhere we could, on the ground, in the console, wherever. And we're there at the regional meeting, and they wanted to make a present to me. They brought it with them. They were laughing. They saw humor in it. And I saw nothing but just being insulted that you as agents would tolerate that. You would, and it was a supervisor involved, and would not speak. So don't be fooled when you see things on TV and it, the way it plays out. There's a great bit of, and some of you might dismiss that incident that I experienced as not being racism, but just humor. But no, when you're staring at the end of a gun, the barrel of a gun, and that's just one incident. Or you try walking in L.A. as you're just walking along, minding your business, just getting out of the Army, going to college, and you're just walking, coming from the Brown Derby, and the police pass you up, make a loop, come back, and you know in your mind, you already know that they're going to come back, guns drawn, pull you over, there you are. So don't be fooled about racism and what it is and all out there and does it exist, you know. These are just incidences where there was no motivation. You still today, I'm asking myself, why did that happen? I can bring myself to saying only one thing, drawing one conclusion. I was in Los Angeles on occasion where I lived. And there I was a state officer, and I was working with some federal agents. And we were going to an electronics shop because we were going to do a project. And we drive down, I think it was near, out by the airport, going in that area. And we parked a car. It's a federal car, and we get out, and I start to go across the street, the crosswalk with the other agents. The police, LAPD, pulls up. They're transporting a prisoner. They pulled over and contacted me and proceeded to make me produce an ID, but the other gentleman were allowed to just continue on to the store. So it happens, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there are rules. When you're transporting a prisoner, you don't stop to collect other prisoners. And why did you, what's the reason for stopping me? You know, I'm an officer. I have a gun. Just to let you know. Oh, you have a gun? Okay, put your hands up. You see. So you get these kinds of things. And they do exist, overzealous or zealots out there, that whatever they're trying to carry out. So don't be fooled. There's an element out there that they're gun happy, they're skinhead. There are some stupid black people out there too, violating the law. But deal with them and don't just assign the entire black race as criminals. Don't treat us like criminals. We're not criminals. We're just as honest as the next fellow. And it's more insulting to be accused of something that you've done nothing, but you're put through the the ringer and insulted. And you know, it's a public display. You know how belittling and demeaning that feels? But I guess what we've been told is that, well, if you didn't do anything wrong, don't worry about it. Just cooperate. Well, I would say to all of you, whenever there's a crime in your neighborhood, pick up the phone and call the police and tell them, just come by and search my house just to prove that we didn't do anything. Then you would feel it. You would know. Or if the police just came to your house and said, well, we had a theft down two blocks and we are looking for certain items. We're going to check your house. That's the way the game's played. That's it. What is it? What's the motive? I don't know. But it's, I think it's to control and to inflict injury and to proceed and keep and nurture this mentality that we are less than normal people. We don't have rights. And until that changes, you won't. You can give them all cameras. Until we work on the real issue of how we're viewed and how we're treated as African Americans and people of color, and don't kid yourself, until we address that, you're never going to fix anything. You can listen to the talk shows. It's going to go around and around in circles. And it's going to do America no good, because we can do better. It's just that we tolerate bad things, and we shouldn't tolerate them. So we'll see you next week. And happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Kwanzaa, and we'll see you. And we got lots of stuff to talk about next week. And for those of you that ask, why don't I ever talk about it? So I hope you understand what I've offered you is just straight from the heart and the facts. And now you understand why it served no good to just sit around and talk about it. It's about acting.